Covenants and promises mean very little to us today. In this age, a man's word means nothing by way of guarantee. We demand some sort of surety. But with God, his promise alone is his surety. So why did he then give the law after he gave the promise to Abraham? Did the law make the promise void? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church, and this week Pastor Jim asks and answers that very question. What is the relationship between the law and the previous promise? What is our relationship to the law now? And what is the law supposed to do? How are we supposed to understand it? These questions and more are answered in this powerful message as Pastor Jim shows us the light of the Word.
If you would find Galatians 3 and find the 15th verse, and then once again, as we did earlier, let's stand to honor God with the reading of His Word. Galatians 3, beginning in the 15th verse. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it is no longer by the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Oh, Father, as we study in these verses, may you be honored and glorified in all that takes place here. Father, it is our heart's desire to make much of you. So I ask, Lord, that as we study, that you would speak through me to these that you have gathered, and that by your Spirit, each person would hear from you your word, and that they would be moved, that they would have a clearer understanding of who you are. And in having a clearer understanding, they would be able to glorify you more than they have before. Oh, Father, we thank you for these that are gathered and give you the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I share this every once in a while. As we study verse by verse through God's Word, we come across those sections of God's Word that are just so much easier to skip. In fact, that's the reason we go verse by verse, is because they are so easy to skip. Now, there's a lot of ways that people preach. One of the most common ways in our country anyway is that they do topical sermons. They jump from this subject to this subject, and they just jump to whatever feels good, whatever's going on in the church, and just fill it out that way. And then there are those who preach what they call surveys of Scripture. This is somewhat of a hybrid between topical preaching and expositional preaching. And what they do is they take large sections and skip over the hard stuff and bring you the easy stuff. And by easy, I'm saying easier to preach and to build a message on. But then there's those of us who do it verse by verse. And when we come to these verses sometimes that are very difficult, that you have to dig in deep to understand. Now here a few weeks ago when our men from the church went to Kansas City and we had our barbecue up in Kansas City, Rodney didn't make it. Now the reason Rodney didn't make it to that is because he was putting in fence posts in stone. You don't take a post hole digger and dig in stone. So he had to bring in special people with special equipment to drill. And it just happened that it was on that day. But he had to drill in deep to be able to set those posts so that the cattle or whatever is inside of the fencing is secure. Sometimes we got to do that with God's Word. Sometimes it's hard when we first look at it. And we have to dig in deep. We got to drill deep so that we can find a solid foundation in what those verses have to say. And these verses are kind of that way. I'm going to go from the inside out on these few verses. I want us to look at verse 17. This is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterward does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. What voids God's promises? You ever seen those little books that say God's promises? Or a book of God's promises? Or promises from the Bible? You ever seen one of those? Nice little devotional books with verses that we can look at. Some of them may be broken up into different times of trouble. And it shows God's promises in those types of trouble. Some of them are just God's promises. Just verse after verse after verse of God's promises. Can we count on God for His promises? Are we able to say, yes, Lord, we know that what You say will be done. If not, I'm here to tell you there's no reason for us to be here. If we can't count on God to say and to do what He says He's going to say, then we're in trouble. But we know better. That's why we are here, isn't it? We know that we can count on Him for His Word. So as I look at this 17th verse, and as I dig into this 17th verse, I see he says, this is Paul speaking, he says, the law came 430 years afterward. After what? Well, it's what we've been looking at. Paul has been using Abraham as this picture, this example of the past. He used Abraham when he spoke in, was it verse 9, that he said, righteousness was accounted to him because of his faith. And then we get into the verses 10 to 14 where that's kind of unpacked a little bit. And the righteous shall walk by faith. And Paul comes to this 17th verse and he's telling us that before there was the law, God had already made a promise to Abraham. Have you ever had the question, how did the Old Testament saints get saved? I've heard that question many times. We need to understand what the law is and what the promise is and how they work together. So let's look at the promise. Chris read about that promise this morning as he was reading out of Genesis, how God made this covenant with Abraham. He called Abraham out of his father's country. This is an unusual thing in that day. Generation after generation, they would stick together. In fact, in this country, for many generations, a farm would go from father to son to son to son. Generation after generation, they would stay and they would work the family business, the farm, the dairy, whatever it might be. But now, things are much different. We are not as stationary as we once were. I'm one of those who, when I was young especially, I had a wandering heart. I like to get around. When I graduated high school, I moved from here to Hutchinson, came back, and wasn't too long, and I moved off to Colorado, came back, and I moved off to Florida, I came back, and I moved off to Arkansas, came back, and moved off to Texas. I like to see different places and go different places. I wasn't putting down my roots. I wasn't putting them down deep. Abram, as he was called before he was called Abraham, he had roots in his father's country. He had roots that were deep. And so it was unusual for him to leave. Even more unusual was for him to leave because this God that he really didn't know yet calls him out and sends him where? He doesn't really know, does he? He gives him direction, but he doesn't really give him a location as God calls him out. And so this is very unusual. But he went for one reason. Because he believed God. Because he believed God, he went. Along with him, of course, he took his wife. He took his brother's son, Lot. He took all the people that they had accumulated. And he took the livestock and possessions that they had. So this wasn't any easy thing for him to uproot. and to go. The U-Haul place was closed when he tried to move. So they had to carry all this stuff. So we're talking about a major undertaking. But he believed God. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness because he believed God. God made him a promise, and that promise, as we know, settled down clear to you and I, didn't it? That all the nations of this earth, all the families, would be blessed through him. Now, how was all the nations blessed through him? Well, through Christ, right? Through Christ, how are we blessed as one of his? How are we one of those, when he looks up and counts the stars and count them all, how are we a part of him in the same way? Because of the promise. The promise that God made to Abram, later named Abraham. So 430 years later, Moses is up on the mountain and God gives him the law, right? We have a very full law. We have the ceremonial law. We have the moral law. We have a very full ritual law. So when that law came in, 430 years later, did that mean that the covenant, that the promise that God had made with Abraham, with Abram, was no longer? Did that take the place of that covenant? No. No. In Abraham's day and today, we are saved the same way. By the grace of God, through the covenant promise to those who believe. So why the law? Why bring the law in at all? Well, we know what the purpose of the law is, right? The purpose of the law is to give us a mirror to see who we are. The purpose of the law, both the ritual and the moral law, was to reveal to us the need for a Savior. In today's world, we come across people in every nation and right here in this community who see no need for a Savior. Have you ever seen someone like that? They're all around us. They see no need for a Savior. They might see a need for something religious, but they see no need for a Savior because they do not view themselves as lost, as a sinner, as wretched, or they do not view themselves as separated from God in such a way that they would be cast into hell. In fact, how many people have you met who do not even believe in hell at all? They're all around us, friends. We work with them. We talk with them on social media. We visit with them in the stores. They're in line in front of us and behind us. They're all around us. So what is it that an evangelist would tell those who do not see a need for a Savior? To steal a quote, he would say, you have to get them lost before you can get them saved. You ever heard that? Or in other words, you have to show them what their need is. People needed the law to see their need. When we go to show somebody today, we are evangelizing. We want to show somebody their need for a Savior. Don't we take them to the commandments? Don't we show them the sin in their lives so that we can show them the need? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are like the lady I've shared about many times who told me that she had never been wretched in her life when her pastor called her wretched. So 430 years after the promise came the law. It came to reveal to the people their need for a Savior so that they could see how they line up with God. You know, it's really pretty easy for us to think that we are not wretched, that we are not sinful, when we start comparing ourselves to each other, right? When we look at each other, we think, oh, well, I'm a lot better than that. And if there isn't somebody here in the church that you're better than, then we start looking outside the church. Well, you know that guy that lives up on the corner. I'm a lot better than that. I must be okay. Or we turn on the TV, and it's real easy. My mother, every day, every weekday of my life, has watched something called The Young and the Restless. And if she didn't watch it, she recorded it once recordings came along. You want to know about wretchedness? But here's the thing. We are not the measuring stick, are we? We cannot pick out the best person in this room and say, okay, I'm going to be like that person. Because that person, to equal them, leaves you in a place separated from God. It leaves you in a place of wretchedness and lostness. Because the true example is Jesus Christ. But people don't want to compare themselves to Jesus Christ. Or they try to tear down Jesus. They try to add sin to the life of Jesus. They try to add it to God. It is not an uncommon thought for someone to think that God is boastful. It's not an uncommon thought for someone to think that God is jealous or selfish. It's a very common thought amongst men. And it's not uncommon for them to attribute those same things and thoughts to Jesus. What was it? The Book of Thomas that said that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, something like that. Man wants to bring God down to his level. Now, man tried to get up to God's level. Remember that? Okay, it was before any of us, right? The Tower of Babel. Man tried to get up to God, and God scattered him. So now man tries to bring God down. And in their own eyes, they do. But when we look truthfully at the perfectness of Jesus Christ, and we say, okay, Jesus Christ is the example. It is Jesus Christ whom we need to be like. And we look at ourselves. Do you feel real good about yourself? Probably not, right? Because our wretchedness shows. Now, this is not one of those Baptist churches that wants to beat you up with your sin. If you get beat up with your sin while you're in here, you say, thank you, Lord. Don't say Jim was beating me up. You say, thank you, Lord. Because there is hope that comes to us who are sinners. This promise that is not voided is the promise that by faith, that by believing, he will account to us righteousness. Verse 18 says, for if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. God gave it to Abraham by a promise, and it wasn't voided with the Old Testament. It wasn't voided with the law. The law came later. The promise of God stands for all who believe. Verse 15 says, to give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it is ratified. Well, he hasn't been in modern day American courts, but the point here is very simple. That when we make an agreement and we say something, even as humans, that should be it, shouldn't it? Someone over at the Methodist church told me the other day that they keep thinking that I'm going to get tired of them and quit coming. I made a promise that we were going to bring them the Word of God. And we're going to do it as long as we can. I told him, I said, you're going to have to chase me off. That's the only way you're going to get rid of me, is to chase me off. But my promises are nothing compared to God's promises. But if my promise is going to stand, how much more so is God's? So when the law came in, and the law revealed our sinfulness, man ran with that. Man decided that God had ended his covenant, his promise, and that now it depended on this. And if you don't believe me, you read any Jewish writings. It all depends on the law, doesn't it? It's all on the law. And like I said earlier, we have many, many churches that call themselves Christian, that it is all a matter of the law. The cults that we have around us, it's about the law. It's about the rules. When talking about sin and grace, Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Knowing the type of people he was talking to, what they were going to think and what they were going to say, he knew that they were going to ask the question, well, if where sin is, grace abounds the more, then shouldn't we sin all the more? Remember his answer? God forbid. God forbid. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 5. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. God brought the law to us so that we could see our unrighteousness, and that we could see the righteousness of God, and we could see a need for Him. And when He opens up the eyes and the ears of those that He regenerates, isn't that what happens? Why do men and women cry when God has moved on them and called them? They cry because they have seen their wretchedness in light of His righteousness, and then they see the hope that comes in grace. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. By faith. Our sole on faith. Faith alone. Sole fide. Faith alone. This was the very reason for the Reformation. This was the very reason that these men had to stand up, because it was being taught within the Roman church, the Roman Catholic church, that it was faith and. But men who God had revealed His word to knew differently and were willing to die so that God's word would be represented truthfully. Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all the offspring, without an S, not to all the adherent of the law, but to the ones who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We, who God regenerates, receive the promise that was made to Abraham way back in Genesis. And then it is accounted to us as righteousness. No person in history, not one person in history, was saved by the law. Not one. Someone will challenge me with that and say, well, Jesus was saved by the law because He held it up perfectly. Jesus was saved by His faith in what He knew. And because of that, He held the law perfectly. Jesus is God. In Luke, verse 1:55 says, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. This promise He made to Abraham is the same promise you and I cling to. So if you think that you have to do something, some good deed, some act of the law, or what Paul is addressing here is the Judaizers and the wanting them to be circumcised. If you think you have to add something to faith, then you do not understand who God is. And your faith and your hope will come and go on it, because it is not planted firmly on the rock. And so it ebb and flows. But for those of us who believe, for those who have been called according to His purposes, and when I say called, I'm talking, of course, about that effectual call that causes you and I to move in faith. When we have been called in that way, our hope is no longer in our circumstances, is it? Our hope is in Christ. And we can face the COVID. We can face persecution. We can face whatever it takes to follow after and make much of our Lord and Savior. But if it's not on that, then when the winds come and the waves beat against your house, it will collapse. And the ruin, the scriptures say, will be greater than before. So friends, I want you to turn to grace. I want you to trust in the grace of what God has done in you. And if you say, well, I can't, then you and I and all those around us, we need to be praying that God would show you His grace, and that you too would believe and know that you can count on it. In 27 years of marriage, Cynthia and I have seen some trials. We've seen some hard times. We've seen a type of persecution. We've had times when we weren't sure where the next meal or grocery money was going to come from. Weren't sure how the lights are going to stay on. But never once did we wonder, did God abandon us and leave us here? Never once. And in all of that, God showed himself every single time. In every single need, showed us that he is where our hope is, and it's in his grace. I want you to be able to say that, that you know no matter what comes, your hope is in him. Because he is the one who washes away that sin that the law reveals. It is in him and him alone. That is the inheritance that is spoken of here in the 16th verse. Abraham's offspring, who is Christ. That inheritance is what we have inherited as Christians. Please stand with me. Father, as we close this service, as we bring this part of the service to an end, we want to honor and glorify you. We want to live in your grace. We want to be established in that grace so as to not be torn down by the things of this world, but to be lifted up by your word. Because we know that the promise that you made to Abraham is the promise that you are using to save us. And we give you all the glory. Speak to the hearts of those who are here. In Christ Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. What have you built your hope upon? This is the most important question you will ever answer. For if your hope is built upon the work that you've done, then you've built your life upon the sand. And when the storms come, your life will be laid waste. Oh, dearly beloved, we urge you with all that we have to cast yourself upon the faithfulness of God and trust in him to keep his promise. For you will never be able to keep the law and work your way to heaven. But in Christ, there is the sure promise of forgiveness for sin and more, the adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance and want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history and is yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of his word.